Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Link Keys, Real Talk, episode 37. We're back with another one. I got my man Lee here. He's chilling. He's got some content he's going to want to drop off the dome. So we're going to listen to that and pay him some respect. And we're going to pay everybody some respect. And we got a whole lot of things on our brain today that could be talked about. So we about to dive deep in right off the rip. Say what's up to the people, bro.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Lee out here in Denver coming to you. Me and my man Keys. I want to wish my man Keys a happy belated birthday. He turned 22 last week. Also, our other homeboy, Rodney, he had a birthday last week. So happy birthday to Keys and Rod, man, and many, many more to come. So, yeah, man, let's get this show kicked off, man. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that, bro, and I'm sure Rodney appreciates it too, whether or not he's listening right now or not. I'm sure he'll be hitting us up, so shout out to Rodney. And like I always say, go check out his show on YouTube. So we want to jump right into it. And first of all, man, what was the biggest robbery? Actually, first of all, a lot of people are saying this is like one of the greatest fights in the history of the UFC that just happened, and I think they're not that's not a stretch to say that. I mean, I haven't seen all, obviously I don't know all the fights that went down. I mean, I've seen some pretty good fights in my day, but this fight definitely was up there with, like, I mean, they just some of like the top five, you know, top 10 best UFC fights ever. Like your boy. Robert Whittaker, Bobby Knuckles fought the Soldier of God, Yoel Romero, the second time, and this fight was a classic. This was such a good fight, man. I was hyped. They had five rounds. It was like pretty much all stand and bang. There was little to no wrestling. I mean, besides a few times when Whittaker had gotten knocked down and he was like a hair from being finished. We'll get to that a little later, but those are probably that wasn't even wrestling. That was just the only time that was even spent on the ground. Other than that, they were standing up the whole five rounds, and it went to a decision. So we saw 25 minutes stand and bang from your boy Whittaker and Yoel Romero, and to where then Whittaker gets the split controversial. I think it was a split decision victory to hold on to his belt. So he had a good one. How you feel about that fight? I'm sure you watched it.
First of all, I don't think the decision was controversial. I had Whittaker winning the first three rounds, and I had Yoel Romero winning the last two rounds. I think the only way Romero would have actually had a chance of pulling it out is if he would have got a 10-8 round in one of those rounds. At least it would have been a majority draw. But, I mean, he did rock Whittaker a couple times. I can't even lie. He rocked him a couple times. But Whittaker, you know, he showed his heart. He battled through. He broke his right hand, I think, in the first round. So, you know, he was fighting Yoel Romero, one of the top guys in the UFC, basically with one hand. So, it was a great fight. It was a hell of a fight, man. And my only problem with the fight is I wish it was for the belt. I think if it was for the belt, it would have been even a better fight. Because I think Yoel Romero would have probably started going balls to the wall probably round three after losing the first two rounds. And probably may have probably got a finish if it was for the belt, because you never know what that adrenaline does to a fighter while they're in there. And everybody already talking about a trilogy fight. I don't know about a trilogy fight being that Bobby Knuckles done won the first two. But I do want to see Yoel Romero at 205 against Gustafsson now. I think that'll be a hell of a fight now. So I know that you feel it was a robbery. So tell the people why you feel it was a robbery.
So first of all, I gave Whittaker rounds one and two, and I heard people say, like, I gave Romero round three, four, and five, but I heard a lot of cases for Whittaker taking round three and possibly a a 10-8 round in round four for Whitaker. So, I mean, 3-2. Either way, a lot of people kind of have 3-2 for either guy. So, for me, I kind of feel like that's a pretty close fight just based off of that, especially since, you know, one of the key things that I thought stole the fight for me was Romero had a couple big moments. I mean, Whitaker was rocked. But, I mean, at the same time, like, he had knockdowns, but he didn't finish. So I see why that takes shock value away from the knockdown and his moments of, you know, Whitaker, you know, he almost finished him, you know, a couple times in the fight, but he didn't get the job done. So I can see how that takes away at the same time that, you know, tacks on some points. I don't know what the judges, how they make of that when stuff like that happens. I mean, I know knockdowns is, like, supposed to be a pretty big thing. I mean, I know in the when McGregor fought Nate Diaz for the rematch, one of the biggest things in the second fight was that McGregor knocked down Diaz, you know, a handful of times. And I don't remember there being a moment where he almost finished Diaz, but I know that the fact that there was, you know, he had 3 knockdowns or whatever it was, did play a big role in the judge's decision. I mean, he did end up getting a majority vote and not a split decision. But I don't know at the same time what judge is really looking at in these fights. So, I mean, I thought Romero won the fight, but it's understandable. They had a really great fight. It was awesome. That was one of the best ones. That was one of the best UFC, probably the best UFC fight I've seen, probably since McGregor and Diaz too. That was probably the next banger since that one. I can't think of another one that was really crazy. I mean, Dos Anjos and Robbie Lawler kind of had a brawl, but at the same time, it was more one-sided. It wasn't like a back and forth. So, I mean, there's been exciting fights, but none that were, you know, that exciting where it was like the back and forth for 5 rounds, especially being, you know, going into the championship rounds. You have a 5-round non-title fight, but still, it kind of had the feel of a title fight. I enjoyed it. I mean, regardless of what they said,
yeah, but
I enjoyed it.
But I think using the Conor McGregor fight is really not a good example, because Conor won that fight 49-46. He won that fight 4-1. Nick Diaz on 1-round, and that was the round that Conor started to get gas, and then Conor came back the next round and knocked him down again. So I don't think that fight really that Conor had like a 10-8 round. Because every time he would knock Nate down, Nate would stay down, so Conor tried to suckle Conor into coming to the ground, and Conor every time would make him stand up. So, you know, I think that fight was on 4-1. But at the same time, it was a good fight. I think Yoel was a game competitor. I think, you know, if he had, you know, when he knocked Whitaker down, maybe attack more, you know, to make it look more like he was going for the finish. Maybe he would have got a 10-8 round. Either I think he definitely would have got a 10-8 round in the fourth if he would have like stayed on the attack instead of letting Whitaker take him down and Whitaker hold him down for like 2 minutes while he got himself together. So, you know, it was a great fight, man, and I wish it was for the belt, because I think if it was for the belt, I think Yoel may have finished him just because of the adrenaline and what was at stake. And, you know, especially with Bobby Hand on the one hand. And you could hear his corner saying, hey, man, you got to throw it. You have to throw it. And then you sit on the fourth, late in the fourth round and early in the fifth round, he just started throwing his right hand. But it was a great fight, man. Both them guys, man, they put it out there. So, another fight I wanted to get at you about that was on that card. That, I mean, I know we ain't gonna delve too much into UFC, but what about the Holly Holm destruction of Megan Anderson?
Wait a second. One more. My last note on Romero. One thing I want to say, and I'm sure you'll agree with this because we talk about this a lot, is that the reason. Now, this would be my case why they don't do a third fight. So, never mind the fact that Whitaker won both fights. So that's right in the open. But what people might not be looking at as closely is that Romero has missed weight 2 times back-to-back.
His last two fights, yep.
he missed weight for the interim, basically was the interim, even though that was actually a non-title fight when he fought Rockhold. They said that if he won, he wouldn't get the belt, but then he won and got the title shot. So really, it's kind of the same thing. He just didn't get a belt. So we could be skeptical as to what would have happened here if they would have still gave him. Who knows? But anyways, is that so he missed weight for the interim fight, and then he missed weight again for the fight with Whittaker. So I think that's even another attack on top of the losing twice, is that he's been missing weight too much. So the UFC should penalize him with not getting a shot, you know, for a good while, just off the fact that, like, look, man, you got to stop making weight.
Well, the UFC is punishing him by making him go up to 205.
Hold up.
Dana White already
right
said
now.
That.
We have a caller on the line. I'm going to jump him right in right here. Hello?
Yo, what's going on? Josh V.
Oh, what's up, brother?
What's going on, Keith?
Did you hear what we were just talking about? You might have missed it by a second.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear much. I just got logged in.
You might have caught, we were talking about the UFC fight that was, I think it was last weekend, say the 18th. Yeah, it was last weekend.
Oh, yeah, I think I had money on DraftKings on those fights.
Yeah, my
so
DraftKings.
So who you thought won the main
actually,
event?
What's up?
Hey, Josh, so who did you have winning the main event between Whittaker and Romero?
I don't think I picked either of those fighters. I don't think I did. I mean,
yeah.
Do you remember?
No,
because if I picked one of those.
Nah, you didn't. The last one that we picked, you picked Lee. You know what? This is funny because he picked your boy Dos Anjos. Dos Anjos was his last pick of the night, and he lost badly.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, no, he got fucked up.
Dos Anjos was destroyed.
Actually, man, that fight was such a letdown, man. That fight was a letdown, Keys. I mean, it was like Dos Anjos, every time Kobe would come out, he would just charge him. And he wasn't even hitting him to the fourth round. The fourth round was the first time he made Kobe pay for charging him after the bell rung. And I was like, yo, man, you know he's going to charge you. He's been charging you every round, so you got to do something. And, man, Dos Anjos,
yeah,
man, he just looked like a fish out of water. I was like, dang, bro.
Yeah, nah, he's better.
But,
he's better in the video game. He does work in the video game, but not so much in the actual ring.
I just think Kobe pressuring him from the start probably kind of like threw him off his game. So, but it does lead to the fight that me and that Keys definitely want to see between Tyron Woodley and Kobe Covington. So that's the fight Keys want to see. The fight I want to see is Covington versus Usman, but I guess I gotta wait on that. So, what's up, Keys?
It's all good because, look, I'm going to tell you, like, when Woodley breaks his face, then he's going to have to go back down and fight the lower contenders. Not saying Usman's not good, but he's going to fight Usman after he gets his face broken.
Oh, jeez. Yo, I don't know what type of fights I've been watching lately, but they're like boxing matches, but they do kicks and shit. Do you guys know, like, what type of, like, fighting that is? They wear, like, boxing gloves?
Yeah, you talking about Glory Fighting Championship? That's like kickboxing.
Yeah. Oh, so it is kickboxing. Okay. I've never seen
fights Glory,
like that. Awesome.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know how you saw that, but it's like, that's put on by the UFC. I think they might even like,
yeah,
I think they sponsored
that
company.
It, it's like boxing and UFC like kind of together almost, you know, without the takedowns and bullshit.
Yeah, they don't wrestle and all that.
I never heard of it.
Yeah,
so it's like boxing, but they can, like, they throw kicks and, like, knees and shit. It's kind of entertaining.
Is that the one where they can headbutt, too? Can't they headbutt, too?
I don't think so. I mean, at least I didn't see it.
Okay.
In the matches I was watching.
All right, that's what's up. I mean, that's I guess that's something I got to keep my eye out for.
Yeah, no, I definitely encourage you to watch it. I was watching some like Facebook video of it, and some guy got fucking KO'd with a foot to the face, dude. I think it was in like South Korea or some shit, but he literally got KO'd with a foot to the face, like straight on, square to the face. It was like one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen. Yeah, no, it was kind of entertaining, man. I fucked with it.
All right. What you say?
I'm
out of stuff. Glory what?
It's called Glory Fighting Championships, Glory FC.
Okay.
I think the UFC might sponsor them or something like that. I got the UFC app, and every time there's a Glory event, they always promote it.
All right.
Same
that's
with Invicta and all that.
Dana White. All right, Dana White got his hand in something else.
Yeah, I feel like they got their hands
in it. If you go on YouTube or something. Yeah, if you go on YouTube or something and just like search Glory Fight highlights or something, I'm sure you'll see some crazy moves or something.
All right. That give me something else to try to get into, so I'll give it a look.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because I just saw, this is new to me too. Like, I saw like a Facebook video of it. You know how they all have like on the Facebook wall, they have all these like crazy videos of like, I don't know, random ass shit. I saw that like the other day.
Yeah.
And I just went into a restaurant and they were showing it too. They were showing the Glory Fights. So it must be on the up and coming or something, dude. Like, I've never even seen it. And then in 2 days in a row, I've seen it like on Facebook and on TV in a restaurant.
Okay, that's what's up.
That's what's up.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a look.
I'm going to watch that one.
I'm all for UFC and anything that ain't boxing.
Yeah, no, I messaged Keys or something on Facebook. Like, I wish the Mayweather-McGregor fight was kind of like a setup, where it was like a mix of UFC and boxing. I feel like it would have been the perfect combination. I mean, it definitely would have favored McGregor. But it was like a combination of boxing and like kickboxing, but I guess that's more along the lines of UFC.
Okay. So you said you can kick, you can knee, but you can't. Ain't, there is no wrestling, so it's just strictly stand up.
Yeah. At least from what I've watched, I mean, I've probably only watched less than 5 minutes of like total fighting. But I haven't seen any, like, takedowns and submissions and shit. I don't think they're about that. It's mainly, like, arms and legs. Yeah. And elbows, too. They can elbow and shit.
Okay.
Hey, speaking of boxing, I know you said anything but boxing, but your boy Errol Spence Jr. just, you see what he did?
Yeah, I saw his fight. I saw it Sunday morning. I saw the replay.
Yeah, you saw all, like, you know, 50 seconds of it or whatever that was. He had, like, a first-round knockout.
Yeah, man. Hey, that guy, I mean, I think out of all the punches that Errol Spence threw, he only threw one punch to the head. He just beat that guy body up for, like, 2 minutes.
Damn.
Yeah,
it's
a long time.
I mean, it wasn't a spectacular. It wasn't a spectacular knockout, but it was a technical knockout. And I want to see him fight Terrence Crawford. I mean, because evidently Keith Thurman is running from him. So we'll see what happens, man. I want to see Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford.
Yeah, because Terrence Crawford just won the belt from Jeff Horn.
Yeah.
They kind of want to unify or whatever they're doing. You know, these boxers all want to unify. So
yeah, man. The welterweight division is exciting for boxing. I mean, everything else, I'm really not hip to it. I mean, I know they got the Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua fight supposed to be happening. I mean, okay, two heavyweights. All right, it is what it is. But I just it's just something about Wilder having to go fight him in England. And then them already saying that the rematch will be booked for the States. I think if Joshua win the first fight, he won't come to the States. He'll find a way to back out of the fight against Wilder. So, I'm just – boxing is just – it's just not UFC, man. You just don't see the fight the best fight the best, so.
Yeah, I feel like boxing is a lot more politics than UFC. I mean, we complain over here,
yeah,
but, like, guys
is.
Actually will fight. I mean, you see little bits of it here and there, but you see, like, you know, we're kind of like when Bisping, like, fought, you know, George St. Pierre instead of fighting the winner of Whitaker Romero first time, but he actually signed to fight the winner, and that was supposed to happen, but then when Whitaker got hurt, he didn't want to wait, and GSP was ready, so, of course, he was going to take the GSP fight.
Yeah.
But really, you see flashes of guys not taking top contenders, but really, most of the divisions, guys are doing that. I just hope that the winner of, you know,
Dillashaw. That's
crazy.
We got here at the same time. Yeah, I
just hope the winner of,
Dillashaw
and Cody actually fight.
I went all the way down Route 1 and I around and had Kelly. Yo, guys, I just got to hear this.
Hey.
I met up.
Go ahead.
It's Keys' radio thing. You want to pitch in?
Yo, Kevin, what's good?
Oh, what's
Kevin.
Going on, brother?
Nah, nothing much. What are you up to?
Yo, Kelly. Hey, Lee.
You going to Kelly's?
Kelly's is like a fast food joint over here. It's
yeah, I'm actually
good stuff.
Many ago. I was coming in funny.
You eat too much Kelly, you'll get really
sick. Oh, dude. Yeah, I've been there. Done
yeah,
that.
Man.
That's
so,
it.
So,
but,
hey, Keys.
Yeah, what's up, bro?
Hey, man. It's red on the street that, LeBron or Kawhi might be coming to Boston, man. And that Kyrie might be getting traded, man. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I keep seeing all these fake news reports saying that that Kyrie was going to get traded. They were trying to trade him for Kawhi. But at the same time, it's like it's still fake news. Like until I see like a real report, like, until I see Stephen A. Smith talking about the trades, and I don't really deem it as true. So I just think it's a lot of rumors right now.
Okay, okay. So would you trade Kyrie for Kawhi and then try to go after LeBron?
I don't know, because my problem with that is I feel like we would lose, like, our whole squad to get those guys. I mean, I even feel like that with just LeBron, never mind. I guess if you get rid of Kyrie, then you can, I mean, you could trade a player for, I mean, I don't know how the deal would go. Cause it just seems like when we tried to get Kyrie, we had to trade, like, six pieces just to get Kyrie. Like, we traded, three of our, starting five or whatever to Cleveland. And then we traded a couple, draft picks, first and second round draft picks. So we basically traded like I think six, maybe five or six pieces just to get one player. So if we're gonna trade Kyrie, I don't know if that's gonna be like, oh, we'll trade Kyrie for Kawhi and that's one player for one player. Are we gonna have to trade like a whole squad again to get? Because really, how
no,
did that?
I think probably what will happen is it'll probably be Kyrie and Kawhi, and then it'll probably be maybe like a Rozier. Not Rozier. It'll probably be somebody else you guys got on the bench, and it'll probably be a two-for-one. It probably won't be like the Kyrie trade was Kyrie for IT and Jameson and Crowder, and that New Jersey Nets draft pick, and then you guys traded Avery Bradley for Marcus Morris. So you guys, yeah, I mean, only one you guys really lost on was the part of the Kyrie, was part of the Kyrie trade, but you really didn't end up losing because Crowder didn't do nothing. IT ended up was hurt. So, and then that pick ended up being like the eighth pick. So, actually, I think Boston won that trade. So, but if they could get Kawhi and somehow convince LeBron to come there and you keep Rozier, Tatum, and Brown with Hayward coming back, whew, they would be in trouble.
Well,
man,
see,
Golden State would be in
that
trouble.
See, that's the thing, though, is that all this stuff sounds good. Everybody wants to sell us a dream, okay? But look, the last lineup we had got, you know, given they weren't as good of a team as the team we had this past season, but the last lineup we had was good enough to get the number one seed, meaning they were winning a lot. They're still winning a lot. They might have won more games than we won with Kyrie. And that was when we had our old, you know, starter five before we traded, you know, three keys and a couple draft picks. And then we got a new squad who was probably a much better team than the old squad. But I mean, and then we got what we get, the second or third seed with the new squad. I don't know. It's that's a toss up for me. I don't know. It all sounds good, but then until you see it, I mean, I want to see how they play this coming year. I don't think these trades are going to – I don't think it's legit. I mean, it's cool to talk about it, but I don't think that nothing's going to happen.
All right. I get it. Dan, we're talking about Boston. Let me throw something else out at you. What's going on with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, man? What's going on, man?
What do you mean? I haven't heard anything. I haven't really been, you know, because I listen to 98.5, the Sports Hub. That's pretty much like the plug for, you know, all Patriots, you know, anything, any Boston sports. That's the pretty much Boston sports radio. That's the guys you listen to out here. And I haven't been listening to the Sports Hub as much lately, so I don't know what you're referring to with Belichick. I know they were saying that that Brady hasn't been showing up to practice a lot lately. I did hear about that.
Yeah, man.
He didn't
go to OTAs. You know, he got on. He did the little interview. I want to say with Jim Gray, when he said he didn't feel appreciated by the team. And then on Oprah, he said, you know, that the end is going to be sooner rather than later. So I just wonder what's going on with it, man. I think if it was up to Mr. Kraft, the owner, I think he'll get rid of Belichick before he got rid of Brady. But at the same time, I think, you know, that the Patriots are still mad about what happened in the Super Bowl. Why didn't Bill Belichick Malcolm Butler? I think a lot of people are still upset about that. Not saying that, you know, they would have won, but I think you would have gave them a better chance of winning when you got one of your best defenders on the field. So, and I think Belichick is still mad at ownership for making him trade Jimmy G, because who gonna be waiting on the bench when Brady decided to retire? Let's just say Brady, he gets hurt this year. Lord, I'm knocking on wood that he don't get hurt, because I like to watch Tom Brady play unless it's against my team. So let's say if he get hurt, Brian Hoyer, for real.
Who is that? Who is that?
That's the backup quarterback.
Oh,
the
Jesus.
Brian
Hoyer. I didn't think they had anybody. I didn't even know they had a second. I didn't even know they had an option.
So, I'm just saying, to me, I thought the Patriots was going to roll with Jimmy G this year, let Tom Brady walk, That way you still have your quarterback situation figured out for the next 10, 15 years. But I guess Tom Brady went and asked Mr. Kraft, yo, I think y'all need to trade Jimmy, la, 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 and they traded him. So now they back,
yeah,
their quarterback situation, their quarterback situation is kind of messed up right now. So the way I look at it is, if Tom Brady calls it a quits after the end of this year, the Patriots going to go back to what they were before Drew Bledsoe, where they were just a meddling team and, you know, just, you know, they're not going to be good until without a quarterback, man. It's just you have to have your quarterback situation figured out in the NFL. And I think them trading Jimmy G messed their quarterback situation up.
Well, all right, so I have two takes on that. So one is that it's sad because Garoppolo was doing well, and then, you know, with the injury, and then, you know, they trade him later to where he went. He went to Houston, right? Oh, no, he went to
No, he went to San Francisco.
Okay,
yep.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought he went to Houston. All right, so he goes to the 49ers, and I'm pretty sure he won every game that he played. Or, like, maybe he played five games. I remember he was winning a lot over there.
He was 5-0.
Good.
Yeah, he was 5-0. He was 5-0 as a starter.
I wanted to say that there was five games, but I wasn't sure. So, yeah, he's doing great there. So, now watch him come out this. I don't know if he's going to be starting for San Francisco because they don't. I don't know.
Oh yeah, he's a starter.
Yeah, he's a starter. Okay. So
yeah,
watch
they
him
could
come
get
out
him
this
like...
year and have a. Watch him come out this year and have a great season, and the Patriots are going to have a sour taste in their mouth because they gave up on a big potential. So that's my first take.
Mm-hmm.
And the second part is like it's the counter what you were saying is if that now if Brady walks away, say he doesn't even return to the Patriots for this coming season, say he doesn't even play, you know, come August and they're doing the come September when he would actually play because they're not in the preseason. So September comes and he, you know, whatever he does, he's not with the, I don't know, not with the team this year, or maybe he plays one more season and then he retires. Yeah, like you said, if, you know, if we were to go back and we have to play, you know, the guy that you were, Brian Hoyer, if we have to play him and then the Patriots kind of go down the drain, then my answer to that is okay, because we have been a winning team for so long. It would be okay to see us not to have some bad years and let some other teams start winning. Because we're, like...
Get the hell out of here, man. Man, I do. Keys, man, come on, dog. Now, you know we keep it real on our show. You just said it would be okay for the Patriots to have some down years. After y'all been used to going to Super Bowls and winning Super Bowls. No.
Yo, it gets tiresome to see us always winning.
Oh my God, though.
Yo, you gotta share the love. What do you mean, you know, keep it real? You gotta share the love with Charles.
Oh my God, this guy is amazing right now, folks. Keys is my man. Keys is my man. I do not believe a word coming out of his mouth right now that a couple of down years would be okay. No, 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 no. I'm not buying that, bro. But go ahead, I'm listening.
Yeah, so if we, so let us have, like, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 years, we're not even a contender, or maybe we just make the playoffs, but we're not a Super Bowl contender. You know, let these other guys start winning. Let the Eagles win a couple. Because then the Eagles I'm sure they'll be. But you know, let Seattle have a chance. Let the AFC East have a chance, because those guys never have a chance.
So let the AFC East, you know, one of them become champions, you know, for the first time in 10 years. That'll be good. Let Buffalo rock out. You gotta let Buffalo have. You gotta let Buffalo win the AFC East, bro. We can't front on Buffalo.
Oh man. Oh my God, this guy, man.
Let the Jets feel like they have a fighting chance. Let the Miami Dolphins feel like they have a chance. You know, all them guys feel like they're a contender now, because if they can place, you know, number one in the AFC East, then they might feel like they can win an AFC championship. But, hey, all the power to them. I'm not even going to put doubt in the air right there. I'm just going to let that be. We can just try to wish it into existence. Maybe the Jets can pull it off. You know what I'm saying? They might have some work coming up for us that we ain't even ready for it. Maybe Buffalo's gonna come out with some work. So let them guys be great, man. Let the NFL be great. Patriots don't need to be on top forever. Hey, look, Patriots don't need to be on top forever. The Patriots have been the most winning team in pretty much all of sports for the past since 2001. So, and the Warriors aren't even a comparison. The Warriors just got hot like a couple years ago, and then what? They won three championships. They ain't even close. They ain't even close, right? They weren't even in the damn playoffs. I didn't even know who the Warriors were, you know, 5 years ago. I didn't even heard of that team. I don't think a lot of people had heard of that team. As much as they claim to have known who the Golden State Warriors were,
they did make the playoffs 5 years ago. So I mean, just throwing that out there, they were in the playoffs 5 years ago. But
okay,
you know, man,
in the league overall, were the Golden State Warriors title
contender? Yeah, the Patriots are done.
That's what we're really looking at. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the Patriots have been consistent.
Yeah, the most winning team in all sports. We need to take a few years. If Brady's going to retire, let us chill back. We can take a few L's. It's all good. Let the Eagles have their shine. Because I don't even remember when was the last time the Eagles had a damn Super Bowl. Besides when we beat them the last time, and they got us here. So that's good. Let them take it next year. Let Seattle feel like they have a chance the year after that. The Vegas guys over there, let the Vegas team try to work. You know what I'm saying? Derek Carr, let him you know, have some shining moments.
Well, can I piss you off?
You cannot.
What about a Jimmy Garoppolo?
I'm too happy.
What about a Jimmy Garoppolo? What about a Jimmy Garoppolo wins the Super Bowl?
Man, I'll be happy for him. That doesn't bother me. I mean, I'll be mad at the Patriots for trading him. I'll be happy for him as a player.
Yeah.
He come out this year and won a Super Bowl. Pretty much his first full season. Okay, so his first full season as a starter and won a Super Bowl. That would be so crazy for his name. And he would probably be a star just off of that. So we'd be checking for him after that. It wouldn't even – Brady retire. It would be like, all right, Garoppolo, you put in your work, young boy. Stay golden. And then he'll sail off to the sunset.
Yeah.
We'll watch Garoppolo be great. It'll get me going.
Hey,
I'll get a Garoppolo jersey shipped to my house today.
Oh, man, whatever. But look, man, speaking of taking L's, right, you know, the last time we talked, I know it was at the end of the show, we was talking about the beef between Pusha T and Drake. How do you feel about that beef, man? Do you think the beef was warranted? Do you think it was something that Pusha T trumped up just to get more ears to his record? Or do you think he had a legitimate beef with Drake? Because it seems like everybody try to come after Drake now.
Yeah, everybody does. Because, I mean, I think we talked – I don't remember if I made this comparison on our show the last time or if it was somebody else that I told this to. But it's kind of like if you're in the game now, swing at the best guy. Like they say, if you don't want to get bullied anymore, then walk up to the biggest, scariest kid in the room and punch him in the face. Then you won't get bullied anymore, okay? So, like,
now switch that to, you know, being a contender at something. So if now be a contender, so McGregor come out, he don't pick to fight, you know, the low tier guy. He says, I want to fight the best guy. So let me fight Floyd Mayweather. That's how it goes. So Pusha T don't got to come out and diss Rick Ross. He doesn't need to come out and diss Wale. He come out and diss Drake. Go for the top guy. You want the most hype around you, go for the best guy that there is. And that's what that was.
Well,
shout out to Pusha T.
Well, you know, man, me personally, I don't consider Drake. He is one of the top guys in the game. But me, for my money, I'll take Kendrick and J. Cole over him. I mean, just for my money. But at the same time, I think Drake is just an easy target, man, for guys now. It's like ever since this thing about ghostwriting has come out, everybody is, like, coming at him. And Drake's diss back at Pusha put it out there. He was like, so I did songs for your boss. I wrote songs for Kanye. I mean, I love that line. I was like, oh, shit, you know, Drake hitting him with the long blow. But, you know, I just think Drake is an easy target because also Pusha T, he went out to Lil Wayne a couple years back. You know, I guess it was some beef that they had with Pusha T. Actually, I think it was the clips had with Birdman, and then they took it out on Lil Wayne. So, you know, I think Pusha probably had this in his back pocket for a while and finally decided to unload that clip. But on his second diss song, I thought he went a little extra, you know, with the disrespect. But, you know, a diss record is a diss record. You're supposed to, you know, go for the juggler. So, you know, it's all in hip-hop. It's all in fun. But I wish we could have heard Drake's second diss song towards Pusha because, from what I understand, it was going to be fire. So, but we probably never get to hear it unless it gets leaked to the public. So, but I like good hip-hop. I like when guys are going at each other, and it's lyrical. You know, they're not breaking out the posse versus posse. You know, ain't no guns being brought out at the shows. You know, I like when guys are going at each other lyrically and keeping it on wax. So, you know, but I think a lot of these guys, stop coming at Drake, man. Go after Kendrick and J. Cole. If you wanna have a beef or you want to go after somebody, go after Kendrick and J. Cole. They're more lyrical than Drake. I mean, Drake got some nice bars. You know, he can rap. But, hey, the two guys at the top for my money, Kendrick Lamar, 1A, J. Cole, 1B.
Yes. I remember when they did when Kendrick Lamar did the control verse, J. Cole actually received his mention in the song, but he responded to it like so much after, like the shock had already came and gone and people weren't really on it anymore. J. Cole responded. He had I forget what song it was, but he responded to Kendrick and he mentioned the song in it. It was official. It was an official J. Cole record, but people just didn't catch wind of it as much because it was like a month after it came out and the hype around the song and the responses to the song kind of died out. But J. Cole did respond to it. I remember listening to it. It got me hyped. Yeah, but I see what you're saying, though, with the lyricalness. You know, Kendrick, that'd be interesting if he had done that because Kendrick would probably come back with some really lyrical stuff. And that'd be interesting to see somebody put him in that position because we've yet to see that. I mean, I'm sure there's good reason
for
why.
No, we haven't.
I'm sure there's good reason for why because, you know, guys know Kendrick is dangerous. Like, you're going to rap with him, it's kind of a different level. Like, he's very, I mean, yo, he's good, bro. He's very good. I mean, J. Cole's very good, too. But Kendrick, I don't know. I just feel like the way he's stamped himself out there, the way he's laid out for himself, I just think guys just know not to go there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but, man, you know, it's good that, you know, in hip-hop, man, that that you got competition. I think for me, I'm a lyrical guy. I mean, we done had this talk before about rap. I mean, me, I'm a lyrical guy. I mean, beats are cool, but I have noticed that, you know, some of the white rappers have dope beats. I mean, I was listening to the song the other day called 1942. It's a G-Eazy song featuring Yo Gotti. Man, that beat is so hard. I was like, yo. Man, I was in the car. I wasn't even listening to what they were saying because this rapper's other. I mean, I like some of Yo Gotti stuff, but I was like, I'm really not listening to what they're saying, but that beat. And then I heard another song called Same Bitches by Post Malone featuring YG and I want to say G-Eazy again. And that beat, oh my God, Keys. I was in the car. I was like, oh my God, this beat is sick. I wasn't even paying attention to the rap because this is like guys I really don't listen to. Beat was so slammed. I see, because a lot of guys, when especially my younger guys I talk to, you know, they said if the beat ain't catchy, it ain't for them. Whereas for me, if the words are hitting, I'm all for it. I can get over the beat, but if I'm all about the lyrics.
Yeah, man, I feel the same way. I mean, to me, it's like you could have a good beat, but if you, I like content. If you're not gonna have good content, then the beat doesn't save you for me. It doesn't make me want to keep going back and listening to it.
Yeah, man. I think me and you both on that. I think we talked about that before. Me and you talked about, you know, hip-hop and, you know, lyrical content, you know, ghostwriting and stuff like that. And, you know, our teacher's on. We ain't telling you what kind of music to listen to. We ain't trying to tell you what kind of rap to listen to. Only thing we saying is our personal preference and what we like. Everybody gonna like different stuff. And, you know, rap is rap. That's why people like, so many different forms of hip-hop. I mean, you got your mumble rap, you got your J. Cole's and your Kendrick's, you got your females out here now trying to do things. You got your singy rap. I mean, you know, rap is rap. I mean, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. But there's something out there for everybody. So, hey, continue to support the artists you like. And, you know, when stuff come up, we'll talk about it. And speaking of that, you know, my man Keys, you know, you've been trying to get me to talk about something for a while, man, because we got about 10 minutes left in the show. So how you want to finish this out tonight?
Oh, yeah, I've been trying to speak everybody. I've been trying to get this guy to listen to the Childish Gambino record called This Is America. I've been trying to get him to watch this music video for, like, it feels like 2 months.
2 weeks.
I mean, maybe it was less. Man, 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
It's been
really?
It's been a little while. I can't even lie to the people. It's been a little while. But I did have
because,
a move in between that time. So, come on. Cut me some slack.
Yeah, it's all good. No, it's understandable. I mean, well, being that you finally
watched it. All right, there we go.
Now, what I want to say before this, though, is how many times did you watch it?
I watched the video. The first time I watched it while I was at work. And then the second time I watched it, it was the same day, but it was after work, and I was sitting in my car by myself. I watched it again. And then the third time I watched it, me and my son, he was watching it on his phone, and me and him both watched it together. So I don't watch it three times.
Okay, see, I'm glad that I was hoping you wouldn't come up here and say you just watched it once, and because I think one watch for that, like if you try and watch that once and give an analysis, I don't think it really would help matters because there's a lot to absorb. There's a lot of stuff going on in that video that you wouldn't catch on one watch. Same as, like, listening to a record.
Yeah.
You don't catch everything on one. So, I mean, I know I watched it, like,
a good handful of times before I really even understood what was going on. The first time I heard it, I was like, man, what the hell is this? And then when I heard it while watching the video, I was like, okay, like, I still don't really know what's this. And then I watched it again, and I was like, okay, now there's some things going on in here that I'm not really understanding. Then I watched, like, a couple of videos on YouTube where people were, like, watching it. They were, like, analyzing it, too, and, like, they were pointing out, like, certain, like, you know, messages that were in it and, like, certain symbolism, like, characters in the background and stuff. And once I watched those is when I really started to realize how much was really packed into one video. So, wow, you know, Childish Gambino, wow, because that was a lot of stuff going on in there that you really wouldn't see. You know, the typical person would just watch what's happening in the front area of the music video, but really everything that's happening in the front, this is my theory, is just to distract you from what's going on in the background. And I feel like that's the whole point of the song, is that the things that are going on in America and the things that have happened are all like almost covered up. Like, it's almost like you have all this other stuff like pushed in your face to distract you from what's really happening in the quote unquote background.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I mean,
yeah,
when I watched it, you know, I mean, I really didn't get that deep into it like you did, because it was like, to me, when I was watching it, I was like, yo, he telling the story, but he has so much going on. See, I mean, me and you talked about the I'm Not a Racist video, whereas that video, it really wasn't hard to comprehend what was going on. It was just the words and who was saying the words made you, that engulfed you in the video. I think with Childish Gambino video, he brings you in just off the opening scene where the guy's sitting in a chair, and then he shoots the guy in the head, and then you know the gun is more glorified than the victim was. And I was like, yo, okay, the gun is being treated better than the victim was, all right. And then, you know, when he goes in and, you know, he's dancing and stuff, and then in a way, I thought he was trying to take a shot at, you know, the way music is nowadays. You know, if you can't do a dance to it, then it ain't good. People won't listen to it. So that's why I thought he was doing a little dancing with the music. But I could be wrong about that. But, like, when he shot up the choir, you know, he came in, you know, he was celebrating and singing with them. And then all of a sudden, he shot all of them. But the gun, once again, was being glorified. We didn't take the victims into consideration. Then, you know, I didn't look at a lot of the reaction videos. Like you said, you probably watched where, you know, people was breaking down certain aspects of the video. I know, like, it was one reaction video where they were breaking down the type of pants he was wearing. But for me, I'm gonna just say this, and I'm going to let you jump back in on this. For me, I thought Childish Gambino took a hell of a step, man, because his show Atlanta is really blowing up. It's a good show if you never watched it. I mean, especially this last season, he had a lot of cryptic messages in the show. But for him to be such a budding actor, I thought he took a hell of a chance with putting this video out, because we both know that you can't be blackballed in Hollywood over some of the most stuff we would see as not being blackball worthy. So, you know, I commend him for taking, you know, stepping outside the box, you know, putting the song out, you know, putting the visual to it, making people think. But I never looked at it the way you looked at it, as far as there is stuff going on in the background, even in the world we live in, and he's telling us, stop looking at what's in front of you, look at what's happening in the background. And I never thought about it like that, so I'm probably going to go watch it again tonight, because you have opened my eyes to that, and I'm going to watch it again tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to have to watch it after this, now that we just talked about it, because it's pretty interesting to me. You know, one of the things that kind of like, it's hard for me to talk about this. Like, I feel like one of the things that they pointed out is that, they were talking about the pants he was wearing. And then they were talking about, like, one of the things I thought it seemed like every analysis video was pointing out was the stance that he did when he shot the guy in the head. You know, he had his face covered and he was tied to the chair, like the very opening scene of the video. When, you know, he's got, uh-huh, like the revolver-looking kind of gun and he shoots the guy in the head. It was like a lot of the videos, they said there was like a significance about the stance that he did when he shot the guy. And they said it looked like, I forget what exactly it was supposed to be symbolizing, but they were really enough that I seen a lot about that in there. It's just really deep. I mean, you should watch it with one of like the analysis, like not at the same time, but watch one of the ones where it's like somebody kind of goes through it and points out, you know, things about it. 'Cause then you'll be like, oh damn, like, that's what I had to do to really understand. I mean, I guess like that singer SZA is in the video too, and like they were saying something about like the car that she was sitting on, and then like, you know, more about all the other types of cars that were just like in the background of the video, and like the you know, generation that they're from, like the model cars, and it was deep. There's like layers to that music video. It's kind of like tiring to even see them go through it. But it kind of does more than just watching it, because it's hard to break down myself, at least. But yeah, shout out to Gambino. That was it's definitely deep, and that hits. I mean, he's doing a lot of big things in his career. So with the SNL stuff too, you see him on SNL quite a bit these days. So he's making moves.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, he SNL was funny, man. He did some funny skits up there, man. But it's good when you see a guy that has so much talent and he's using every ounce of his talent. You know, he's on TV, he's doing music, he does comedy. You know, he's on the big screen. He was just in the Han Solo movie. Then you know he has the Atlanta show. You know, man, it's good to see people do maximize their talent instead of limiting themselves to one thing. I'm gonna use my man Keys as an example. My man Keys, he does music. You know, he's going to school. He writes for a newspaper, I think. He's working. So, you know, he's maximizing all his talents, you know, to, you know, branch out and do different stuff to see what doors open for you. So don't limit yourself to one thing, people. That's what we're trying to say. If you have a multitude of talents, maximize all of them. You know, maybe you'll find your true calling through one of your talents. That's why when kids play sports, you know, if they're good at three sports, let them play all three, and then let them figure out which one they want to try to make a livelihood with. You know, don't say, you know, Johnny, I think you're better at football, so you should start playing baseball. You know, football, they don't have guaranteed contracts. Baseball, they do, even though baseball is harder to make it to the big leagues. But once you get there, you will get guaranteed money. So, you know, don't limit yourself. Maximize all your talents. That's my message for the people tonight.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I like that message. That's a positive thing to give to the people. You know, and also maximize your time calling in, because we always want everybody to call in. And, you know, 917-889-3251. We appreciate everybody. You know, stay safe. Be careful of dolphins. No, not that they're not friendly. Just, you know, don't animals out there. So be friendly to animals. The world is beautiful. And everybody stay safe. Appreciate y'all for calling in. And have a good night. Over and out. Lean Keys.
Lean Keys.